Welcome to an episode of Locked On Pac-12. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson. We have a lot to talk about today, starting from rankings of the week. We're literally ranking the teams on how they did this week. And then we're going to give you some previews into the matchups happening on Saturday. A lot to talk about. So get ready, because here it comes.
On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everyone? I am Cindy Robinson, your host, and I'm joined by Brian Brown from Locked On Utes to give you a breakdown of our rankings for the week. For the season openers, well, mostly season openers and one second game. And then a preview into some of these matchups for this weekend that we may not have already discussed throughout the week. Brian, how's it going?
I'm good, Cindy. You talked me into doing this power ranking things, and now I'm a little bit nervous that you're just trying to get me in trouble with everybody.
I am, but you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Before we jump into that, before everyone gets ready to beat up Brian for, you know, his choices, I'm putting it all on him. I'm letting you know this now. It's not too late to listen to the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 for previews of every team and every division from our local experts and Odyssey's NFL experts. Search Ultimate Season Preview 2021 today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Now back to college football. Brian, you asked for this. This is what you wanted, and
I'm just here to have fun and joke, and nobody ever takes power rankings seriously. Come on, especially nobody on the internet.
Okay, well, they don't have to take this seriously, but we're about to get serious with our choices. So it's all based off of how we felt teams played this in their first week of play, minus UCLA, that was their second week of play. We're really basing it off of that. It's not like, oh, this is who we think is going to win. It's not the rankings like AP polls, none of that. We're really ranking it week by week just to give you something different and kind of a mindset of like where these teams landed throughout the week and in our opinion, how they played. So to kick things off, to lead it off, we're going to start from the top and go down to the bottom, ending with the, you know, not so great stuff because it's been a rough week for the Pac-12. So we want to shine some light on the positivity early on. And taking that first spot has to be kind of an obvious thing for fans. I would hope it's obvious, but it was obvious for us, and we chose the UCLA Bruins. It's a no-brainer here. Like, they dominated in their first week of play versus Hawaii, dominated against LSU, which is a big upset whether anybody saw it coming or not. I know I didn't. We definitely thought SEC school was going to come in and, you know, bang up the Pac-12 school a little bit, but shout out to UCLA for holding their own. Obviously, all these teams have things that they need to work on and improve on, but we definitely were impressed with what UCLA did.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. This isn't a projection for the entire season. This isn't the AP. This is what we loved most for the week, and I loved what UCLA did. They won a game that not a lot of people expected them to win, and when you have a Rudy moment like that, especially when the coach on the other side calls your shirt Sissy Blue, that's a time to celebrate and talk your trash, as our good friend of the program, friend of the pod, Chase Serrano, likes to say, right?
Talk your shirt,
especially when the coach calls your shirt Sissy Blue. But right. that's the bottom line is that UCLA was anything but that. They were dominant from start to finish. They showed an SEC powerhouse how good they play physical power run football, and they did it with transfer Zach Charbonneau, with Dorian Thompson Robinson, with mainstay Greg Dulcich, and a massively reconstructed UCLA defense that really threw fits at a young quarterback for US or for LSU that was so super highly touted coming into this game. And so I think they're well deserving of that number one ranking.
Yes. Now coming in at number two, and it's very clear we don't have a preview for UCLA. They're on a bye week. their first team to kick it off in the Pac-12. But mind you, they've already played two games, so they're way ahead of the game. Now, coming in second is a bias on my co-host. You know, I can't say I fully agree, but I'm going to go with it. Coming in at number two is Utah Utes. And I'm going to let Brian explain why he felt like Utah deserved that second spot.
The simple question was, what does Utah have at the quarterback position? And they showed Charlie Brewer is a really well-established starter and a high-caliber Pac-12 quarterback now. Came to Utah from Baylor, the Big 12, known for its passing attack. But Brewer stepped into a system at Utah that's very different. It's much more play action oriented. Utah likes to run the football. It's not so much that spread them out and let them go kind of offense. And Brewer was electric. He was 19-27, threw for two touchdown passes. Utah hung it up on an in-state rival in Weber State. Now again, not a great opponent. And I'm not trying to say that, hey, write home about how great Utah is. But if we're ranking these based on individual games, I thought Utah played a really solid game.
You know, Utah has a big game coming up this weekend against BYU, and I know that's a big rivalry within Utah. Let the world know, for those who, may not be huge Utah fans, how big a game this is and what the implications are for Utah. We saw BYU play against Arizona and not be so impressive, even though they did get the win. What are your thoughts about this matchup?
It's a rivalry that has slowly started to make its way into the consciousness as one of the best in the country, and it's simply because most people have an experience. But imagine that you had a brother that, or a sister, a sibling, we'll put it that way, that you absolutely hated, and that sibling lived 40 minutes away, and you had to deal with that sibling's obnoxious chatter all year long, even though you're the better sibling, you're the smarter sibling, you're the more recognized sibling, you've had more success, you've got the better job, you live in the better conference.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, so they call it the Holy War. We've argued that some other names, Church and State, the Battle of the Brothers. It is a rivalry that is based in the fact that there are families that get pitted against each other, and it's only added to the storylines that head coach Kalani Sitake at BYU coached at the University of Utah. Head coach Kyle Whittingham played at BYU. So there are plenty of storylines. It's going to be a big battle for the Utes. They'll get a chance to really validate whether or not they're worthy of a top half power ranking for next week if they win this game and if they win it convincingly.
All right. Going to be an interesting matchup, to say the least. Rounding out our third and fourth spots in this ranking before we head on over to, the following ones that may not be so nice. ASU came in at third, and that was solely because of, one, how they were able to pull off that win, but then two, the other options weren't as pretty. Coming in behind them was USC, and both got their wins, but it wasn't the prettiest of wins. They both have a lot to work on. Brian, what were your thoughts about landing ASU at third and USC at fourth?
It was just kind of like honestly, 2, 3, and 4 was just kind of a battle of who was at least, better than the rest. And I think that's part of the problem with the Pac-12 is you had one team that went out and really demonstrated, kind of carried the banner for the conference in UCLA. You had a few that just did what they were supposed to do in Utah and ASU, and to a degree USC. And so how do you slot them all? Well, I think that Utah played probably a higher quality opponent in Weber State, so we put that at 2. ASU did what they were supposed to against Southern Utah, who's another FCS team, just not quite as high caliber maybe as Weber State. And they did what they were supposed to do and scored points, and the game was never in doubt. So there you go. Did what you were supposed to do, executed. Is there plenty of room for improvement on ASU's front? Sure is. But that's good enough to get you number 3 in this ranking. Same with USC. They played a spunky San Jose State team from last year. They took a share of the Mountain West Conference, or maybe they're the outright runners. I can't remember. But bottom line was, USC was nothing exciting, nothing electric. It wasn't a massive, dominant, performance from USC, but they handled their business, and they won 30-7. So there you go. Spot number 4 for you, Trojans.
There you go. Coming up next, we will continue on with the rankings and giving you previews into matchups that are happening Saturday that we may not have talked about earlier throughout the week. Before we dive into any more of those rankings, you have to know about Built Bar if you don't already. It's a great protein bar. It's tasty and healthy, providing you that nutritional factor, but still, you know, edible and something that you'll want to snack on. It comes in 9 different flavors, and honestly, Built Bar fans cannot get enough. You can even ask Brian. They come in all different types of flavors: coconut almond, if you're into fruitier flavors, cherry and raspberry. And then if you're more of a chocolate fan, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. And for those of you that want to try them all, then the mix box is for you, where you can get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. It's 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in grams of sugar, low in calories, and low in net carbs. You really cannot beat Built Bar. Tasty and healthy. If you are interested in trying Built Bar, then you want to head on over to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's right. Promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D, 1-5 for 15% off at builtbar.com. So, Brian, now we're going to move on into these rankings, and this is where things get a little tricky. It was tough for us to come up with this list because a lot of these teams just did not live up to the expectations that we thought they would, especially coming into this first game with a lot of them facing opponents that are considered not as competitive as, you know, what we expect throughout the rest of the Pac-12 schedule. So coming in at that 4th slot, we had to give it to Colorado. And I do want Brian to further explain why we chose them, but for one, I want to remind everybody that these rankings are just on a week-to-week basis. It is not – Brian, are you disappearing? Are you turning into a ghost on me over there?
I'm trying to get out of this ranking all of a sudden, the way you're selling me down the river.
You're trying to – I mean, I'm not selling you down the river. You just got more of the analysis for me, you know? Anyways, this ranking is going to be a week-to-week basis. Your team might be at the bottom this week and at the top next week. They just got to perform. We're just giving you what we see on a week-to-week basis. So tell us why Colorado ended up in that slot, that 5th slot. I mean, fifth slot.
Whatever slot they're in, I think the Buffs are we're given the phony Buffaloes, the Bison, their flowers for once, because I thought that for a team that had a ton of questions, they actually played a pretty darn good game and really showed a little bit of who they will be going forward. I think losing a starting caliber quarterback in the early parts of camp, forcing Brendan Lewis into the starting job, there were a lot of question marks about the Buffaloes. What are they going to be able to do? And against Northern Colorado, they showed it. They are going to be able to run the football. 281 yards rushing. Jarek Brassard, the electric running back, returned with 94 yards on 15 carries for a 6.3 yard per carry average. I like that a lot. But that's not all. They had Ashad Clayton and Alex Fontenot, who also had above 5.0 yards per carry. Just absolutely ran roughshod over Northern Colorado. No coincidence that Ralphie the Sixth also debuted on her run, and the football Buffaloes tried to debut a running start as well. So quite a stampede out there in Boulder.
Yeah, and ahead of their matchup against Texas A&M. Now, this is not going to be as easy as facing Northern Colorado. What do you think that will be the determining factor in this game for Colorado?
They're going to have to find a way to get pressure on Texas A&M, and that's a really tough ask because that Aggie front offensive line is strong. They're big, they're experienced, and for all the good stuff that we're laying out for Colorado, they're going to have a hard time getting that run game going against a Texas A&M defensive front that was just absolutely lights out last year, and it doesn't get any easier this week for the Buffaloes, so we may not see them get any higher than 5th, next week. We certainly more than likely will see them drop below that. But they'll have a have their hands full with Haynes King, the Texas A&M starting quarterback. But in the meantime, they'll probably run another round of Ralphie out there for all of us. So that's good.
Go Ralphie. The live
Sydney loves watching Buffalo run.
I can't get with the live mascots thing, like the LSU Tiger, and it's cool, but it's also kind of weird and creepy. So, anyways, coming in at 6, I like this mascot, even though I'm not too fond of the school. I do like this mascot, the Oregon Ducks. Now, we brought them in at 6 because despite losing Kayvon Thibodeau, they were still able to pull off that win. It was a little shaky considering who their opponent was, Fresno State, and it was Fresno State, yeah. I'm trying to make sure I'm keeping up with all Fresno State. And not to, like, slight Fresno State, but, you know, we have high expectations for Oregon. So we weren't fully impressed, but considering the situation with losing Kayvon, and they were still able to pull off that win, a big deal. They're facing Ohio State this weekend, and that's a big, you know, a big game. Ohio State, obviously a Big Ten opponent, but huge in the college football land, and just, you know, one of those teams that this matchup is going to matter for Oregon. Oh, man. Do you feel like the Oregon that we saw Saturday can keep up with Ohio State?
No, and that's part of the reason why they landed here in the ranking, is that wasn't a very strong performance from Oregon. And let's be honest, Fresno State has a lot of P5 transfers on that roster. They're a good, talented football team, but they are still a Mountain West quality team. For whatever, however you want to interpret that, whether you want to base it on the fact that the facilities aren't as good, that the depth isn't there, they are a part of the Mountain West, and that's a team that an Oregon team that has had such cream of the crop recruiting classes across the Pac-12 that has done so well over the last few years, winning the conference, should perform better in. I think that, on top of the fact that we're still up in the air on Kayvon Thibodeau's status, and he is such an integral, critical part of that defense getting pressure on Ohio State and their newly minted starting quarterback, C.J. Stroud, only playing in his second game, that would have given Oregon a tremendous edge. They're going to have to figure out ways, and it's likely going to be Justin Flo, Noah Sewell, trying to get pressure on them instead. And so we'll see how things go, but I don't think the Ducks will be able to fly together well enough to beat the Buckeyes.
Here we go with the puns and all these great little nursery rhymes coming from
Coach
Brian.
Coach Bombay can't save you now, Oregon. Sorry.
Okay, well, moving on. Coming in at number 8 was Stanford. We previewed Stanford a little bit earlier this week against when we talked with Lauren, because they will be facing SC. This is the first Pac-12 in conference play that we'll see this season, and it's going to be a good game. It's a rivalry, not a somewhat of a rivalry, like a North-South rivalry that has been going on for years. Stanford is actually USC's longest rivalry in college football history. So take with that as you will. There was news that came through about Stanford's quarterback situation after I finished recording with Lauren, so we weren't able to include that into our podcast. But wanted to bring that up today, that sophomore Tanner McKee will be starting against SC, and senior Jack West will be moving into that backup spot. Brian, do you have any indication as to why that may have happened?
The numbers never lie, Cindy, and that's probably the reason that Tanner McKee is the one who's starting. He was 15 of 18 for 118 yards. Not a lot of yardage on each of those throws, just 6.6 yards, but he threw for a touchdown and did not throw two interceptions, which is what Jack West did. So the offense was definitely better under Tanner McKee. I think he's the better prospect. I don't know if I agree with David Shaw, and this is a real big deal for me to say. I don't know if I agree with David Shaw's choice to start two quarterbacks. I think Tanner McKee was likely the choice all along, but he went out and earned the job in a loss against Kansas State, and now Stanford has to find a way to rebound, and it's a tough ask against the Trojans for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think both teams aren't necessarily playing up to their potential in this time and place right now, but USC is in a better spot than Stanford. So we'll see how it all plays out. Again, when you're playing against a more competitive opponent, it brings out a different side of you. But before we move on to more, I realize I skipped our seventh. Like, Stanford was our eighth, and I skipped the seventh. My bad. Brian didn't even stop me and say anything. Shame on you, Brian. But coming in at seven, ahead of Stanford, we did place Arizona there. Now, before y'all kill us, okay, Arizona, we are very aware, did lose to BYU, but they're not the Arizona that everyone thought they were going to be, except for me. I had faith in them, okay? But I did. I had faith. Don't play me. I definitely thought that Arizona was going to come in and be competitive, and a lot of people, Bryant, Michael Luke, said that, you know, it was going to be a rough year for Arizona. And so, you know, you can't always listen to what these people say. You know, you just got to trust in whatever team is your team and have faith. And so I'm here for the underdogs coming through and, you know, putting up a good fight. So, boom.
Yeah, all that love for the Arizona Wildcats. I can't even remember to put them at number seven, where you wanted them ranked because of how they showed out against BYU.
Well, it was just a charge into my mind and not my heart situation, okay?
It was just me trying to ignore Arizona because Michael Luke and his crew didn't get it done against those BYU pesky Cougars the way that I would have liked. But that's okay, because I think what Arizona did show us is that they do have some talent out and down there. Gunnar Cruz looks like he's established himself as a starting quarterback. I'm here for it. Anytime you got a quarterback named Gunnar, I think that's a great thing. And he played like a Gunnar too in that game. 34 or 45 for 336 yards and a touchdown. Them's some good numbers, I tell you.
Right, right. I definitely think he's going to solidify that starting spot sooner rather than later. So, Wildcat fans, you have a matchup coming up this week against San Diego State. Haven't faced them in third. No, that was that's Arizona State. I'm over here. Is it? No, San Diego State. I'm tripping. Sorry. Forget everything I was just saying. San Diego State this weekend. Get prepared. It's a home game. So, Wildcat fans, hope you show up and show out for your team. Coming up next, we will round out the rest of this ranking. I'm all over the place. It's a little late. We're recording right now, and I'm tired. So, my mind is all over the place. Excuse me, guys. My bad. If you're into daily fantasy sports, then Stat Hero is for you. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts, who have more tools and more time. So you really don't stand a chance. But Stat Hero is working to change all of that. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're basically in total control, and this is your time to take advantage. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. All right, Brian, we got 4 more teams to discuss and where they're ranked in our ranking situation. Again, as a reminder, I feel like I have to give this plug. It's just a weekly ranking, guys. It's not about the whole season or where we think people end up. We're not AP polls. We're not what's the other one? There's another one. I can't think of it, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, Brian's looking at me like, what other one? And he's muted.
AP coaches, college football playoff, that's all that matters.
Okay, yeah, there you go. But we're not doing that. We're giving you a weekly Pac-12 ranking just to give you an idea of how your team played that week. So coming in at number 9 is Oregon State. And they're facing Hawaii this week, which is, We saw Hawaii already play against UCLA. It's a chance for Oregon State to, you know, come out on top and with a win before heading into conference play, and taking advantage of the opponents that they're seeing. Typically, I wouldn't say Hawaii is a team where that you can, you know, slack on. And I still don't think that way. But we did see UCLA dominate against them. Don't know if Oregon State is the same caliber as UCLA, but Oregon State can play around a little bit.
It's a get-right game for the Beavers. It's an opportunity for them to really start to build on something, you know, so they can really stop the flow rushing away from their season. Maybe dam up the river, if you will. But, again, we've seen Hawaii now, and against UCLA it was a lackluster effort at best. You have to believe that, Hawaii will have improved a little bit since that effort against UCLA. But you hope, really, that the Beavers have improved as well. My hunch is that Jonathan Smith will get the tweaks in. The defense will be a little bit more up to par against a lesser stacked opponent in Hawaii. And bottom line is that the ESPN FPI matchup predictor has them as an 83.4% favorite. That seems like pretty good money to win a game.
I would say so myself, for sure. Coming in behind... Bless you.
Oh, sorry about that one. Trying to get to the mute button in time.
And it did not work.
These late nights, they get to me, that and all this California smoke that I breathe in all the time.
All right. Well, coming in at – you keep trying to throw the shot at California. I think I didn't catch that. Anyways, coming in at number 10 is Cal, who faced Nevada in their season opener. You know, we did want Cal to come out with that win. Obviously, we were trying to root for all Pac-12 teams to win. But Nevada took over and, you know, got the win. But it was a close game. It wasn't a blowout for Cal, you know, to deal with. And so there's still optimism there, but we definitely expect more from Cal. They'll be facing TCU this week, and they definitely need to come ready to play. And it's a tough one. Their preseason schedule, or whatever, non-conference schedule, is tough than some of the other opponents that some Pac-12 teams are facing.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think the biggest thing for Cal is that they just need to get the offense rolling past the first quarter. That's what really limited them against Nevada. Put up 14 points early on and then really didn't do a whole lot else. They're going to have their hands full with a TCU team that really is pretty talented. Max Duggan returning at quarterback for the Horned Frogs. He's a guy to watch. But, you know, the real player to watch in this one is going to be Chase Garbers. You know me, I've been on record as saying that Chase Garbers could be one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12 in terms of playing at this level, not obviously in the NFL. We're going to go ahead and cut any of that kind of talk off forever and ever here. But he's got to play better. He's got to lead his team, and he's got to step up to the plate. And he's got to do more than just get 14 points early and expect the defense to bail them out. We'll see if it happens. They got a tough one against TCU. And plus, it's a 1:30 kickoff mountain time. So 12:30 East Pacific. That's pretty early.
Yeah, it is. No Pac-12 after dark there. Can't wait for those games.
Long days.
Yeah. All right, rounding out these last of the rankings, might as well lump them together because, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time and we've already said it earlier this week. Washington State coming in at 11, UW coming in at 12. The Washingtons are losing right now in the pack. Like, they're not doing it for us. And it's kind of ugly. Washington State will be facing Portland State. Another opportunity to try to redeem themselves, get a win in before conference play really starts. Again, one of those get right games that could possibly help them get back on the right track. Washington State's dealing with a lot more other issues, you know, that we're not even sure will still be an issue come October. It's not clear if Nick Rolovich has decided to get vaccinated or not. And I think the deadline was like October something for him, whether or not, you know, he'll get let go or not. So that is a saga that we will still be looking to see if, you know, what happens there. And then UW, we really had to give them last because not only did they lose to Montana State, but, you know,
Not even Montana State, but Montana.
Oh, I'm tripping. I'm sorry. Montana. And I've been thinking all these teams have been state, you know what I mean? So lost to Montana. But they were one of our top picks to dominate the Pac-12 this year. And they are far, far, far below our expectations. So we'll look to see how they play this weekend against Michigan. That's a even – no, not even – way more competitive program than Montana. And if they fall this weekend and don't put up a fight, I think they may stay at the bottom of these rankings.
Yeah, Jimmy Lake's trying to get the hottest seat in the Pac-12. If that's really his goal is to get a full-time vacation, he's doing a great job of starting it out. But the bottom line is that Washington has to be better. They cannot throw three interceptions against Michigan. That will get out of control quickly. They cannot wait till the last 2 minutes of the game to try and beat the Wolverines. They need to do it every single play, every single snap. This was a team that talked a very big game at Pac-12 Media Days. They've talked a big game all season long. And you deserve every single bit of your number 12 ranking this week, fellas. Let's see what you can do. Try and get out the basement.
Get out of the doghouse, y'all. Come on now.
It's happening. Look at that.
I didn't even catch it until I said it. Oh, that was a good one, though. Anyways, if you're into betting, go on and head over to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag or wherever you get podcasts. Also follow along the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, the Locked On Utes podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And then keep in touch on Twitter at LO underscore Pac-12, at underscore Cindy Robinson, and at Brown Bear SLC. We'll definitely be bringing you all the, you know, commentary this weekend. Either me, Brian, maybe Lauren Jones. You just never know who we have behind the keys. But make sure you tune in, interact with us, engage with us. Let us know what you want to see and hear on the podcast. Other than that, make sure you stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.